Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of Global Gaming Business, and this week we speak with Don Marandino, the president of the Eastern Division for Caesars Entertainment. For 20 years in Las Vegas, Marandino concentrated on creating new revenue. Now he's returned home to do the same in Atlantic City. When Don Marandino took over the Eastern Division of Caesars Entertainment, which consists of the four Atlantic City properties and Harris Chester in Pennsylvania, the decline of the Atlantic City market was at its nadir. Things haven't gotten much better for gross gaming revenues, but certainly have improved in all other aspects, including non-gaming revenues as well as the overall political situation in Atlantic City, where the casinos now play a large role in operating the tourism district. Marandino has brought about 20 years of experience in Las Vegas back to his hometown and immediately made a difference by focusing on the amenities the Caesars properties offer outside the casino. He spoke with me at his offices in Atlantic City in late October. Well, Don, thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Let's start with the gross gaming revenue numbers. You know, they look like they evened off last month. How's the next few months look to you? Do you think we're going to be bouncing along the bottom there for a while?
Well, I mean, September, we were pretty pleased. Our four properties were either at last year or mm-hmm. darn close to it. And, you know, we have a lot of high-end business at our property, so we're going to have fluctuation from a hold percentage mm-hmm. perspective. And Aqueduct opening next week is not going to help us in the short term. So, I think that's the most overrated report that we have going.
Right.
It's an indicator for sure. But a lot of the things that we're doing here, non-gaming and mm-hmm. restaurant and everything else.
Well, you know, I get calls from the media all the time when those reports come out. And for the past year, I've been saying, I take this as the be-all and end-all because you have to understand there's more money coming in from non-gaming revenue all the time. Is that the case? Am I telling the truth there?
Yeah, we're doing really well. We opened up seven new restaurants mm-hmm. in the past 5 months.
Right.
And one of the companies, Be Our Guest, out of New York, we opened Dos Caminos, Bill's Burger Bar, Atlantic Grill, and soon to be opening Sammy D's mm-hmm. At Harris. We're doing covers that I never suspected we would do.
Right.
In the case at Harris, we converted a really successful deli that was about $3 million a year entity, mm-hmm. and now it's pushing a $7 million entity.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And most of it's cash, and we're thrilled with that. And Dos Caminos has just been an unbelievable success here for us. So, yeah, we're diversifying. Mm-hmm. Our nightclub businesses are doing extraordinarily well.
Right. The way the pool is working at Harris has to be gratifying to you. I mean, what a great space that is.
Yeah, the pool has been amazing. It's a great daytime amenity, and we're talking very seriously about adding gaming to the mix.
Yeah. Yep.
Here in the not too distant future, I think, you know, marrying nightlife and gaming together mm-hmm. is kind of a fun thing. We have a couple other things up our sleeve too.
Right, great. Let's talk about some of the other entities you have. Like, I just noticed the Foundation Room at House of Blues is going to be open to the public now, which is a great space.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I was there after a concert mm-hmm. on Friday night, and it's the most unique space around, and with the outdoor on the mm-hmm. ocean, and when it's nice out, and we're doing an after-hours sort of like a Dre's type of thing there at 2 in the morning and being very responsible about it, but fun, and it's a great room. We do live entertainment in there now, and the prayer rooms are fun.
Mm-hmm.
And the House of Blues at the Showboat is going to have close to 100 shows this year, which is and it will be the most successful House of Blues in the whole organization.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, marrying those two amenities is a great thing.
Right. Now, Caesars took over House of Blues, three or four years ago now? Management of that?
No. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. It was managed by the House of Blues, and we've been in about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and
we pay them a commission, but we have full control of the acts.
Right.
because that was the problem in the beginning. The acts that they were bringing in was just not amenable to the regular clientele at Showboat. It was kind of like apples and oranges. But now you've got more of the mainstream acts and things of that nature coming.
We sold out Friday night with Jane's Addiction, and we have a couple great shows this week that are selling out. So pretty much everything we put up for sale, we're nailing it.
Right. How about the gaming component of that? The House of Blues themed casino down there.
It's been great. Yeah. I say, there's a lot of great party pits in Vegas that I've seen, and this one, when it's going, especially in summertime weekends, that place rocks.
Right.
It's a real fun place to be at that night when especially when show break.
Right. And I guess that's the kind of atmosphere you're trying to get by putting gaming into the pool and some other areas like that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think you got to make it fun. Right. And you got to make it kind of, in some places in your casino, you can make it fun and sexy. Right. And other places, you make it for your core customer.
Right.
And try not to mix them too much.
Sure. Now, your flagship here at Caesars has been doing very well. Have you had any trouble getting some of the high rollers down here, now that they've opened table games in Pennsylvania and things of that nature?
I mean, we still deal, high limit stakes here. Mm-hmm. And we have a great room, and we've recently upgraded several of our suites, and we're doing a makeover in our first floor. So, and recently, first time any media persons have gotten a four diamond here at Caesars.
Great.
So one of two in New Jersey, I think, and we're thrilled about that.
Yeah, we'll congratulations. That's a real accomplishment.
It's a real accomplishment for a hotel that's got four different towers and 33 years of history and longer, and we've had a really committed relationship with to get the Four Diamond, and we've gotten it.
Yep.
I think it really stands for the quality and also the employees that take care of the tower. They've done a great job with it.
Okay. How about the Claridge Tower? You announced last year that there was going to be some renovation in those rooms. Has that occurred yet?
Yeah. So we did the exterior of the Claridge, and it's gorgeous. The brickwork and repainted and did a lot of things. So the exterior is complete.
Mm-hmm.
And we renovated about 300 rooms in there, and hope to in the near future finish that project. And there's always options that you can make it a third party hotel,
right?
And we've talked to a lot of people, and nothing done at this point. But it's still a nice appendage to the Bally's property.
Yeah, it would make a great boutique hotel.
It would.
Somebody would come in there and run it as a separate hotel practically. Yeah,
it's 80-some% occupied, and no one says I want to go there.
Right. Yeah.
Which is an interesting phenomenon.
Yeah. No question. Across the way here, the pier is going up for auction tomorrow, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that something Caesars is interested in, repurchasing that property?
Well, we're the landlord, so nothing changes. Taubman was the managing partner of it, and, the pier's had a tough go of it in some areas, but the restaurants, Budokan and Continental and Phillips, do very well.
Mm-hmm.
Louis Vuitton and Tiffany and Boss and several other higher end stores do well. And right down the street there's The Walk that has one of the most successful retail enterprises out there in the country. So I'm anxious to see how those two things marry. But the pier is a great amenity, and I'm bullish on it.
Mm-hmm.
Summertimes it's amazing. Weekends still it's amazing. And I think there's some things that will happen. I think that whoever purchases it will get it at a sustainable number, which will make it easier to operate.
Yeah. Would you like them to see them change the mix in there a little bit, maybe a little lower-end stores? I don't mean low-end stores, but a little step down from where they are?
I think the people I've talked to, they have attractions that that'll draw people there, not just for shopping. And typically, like the Forum in Vegas has been successful when you're walking by and the spontaneous shopper type things.
Right. Yeah. I think part of the problem though is people don't come here on purpose to shop. They've got to pay in your parking garage to come in. And is there any possible relationship where you'd allow them to validate their parking?
We're wide open to somebody coming in that's going to market the place. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's a spectacular view.
Right.
One Atlantic at the end is a gorgeous, very successful wedding place. Mm-hmm. And we have some interesting wedding concepts. Hopefully, if we get some legalization changes here, we'll similar to Vegas, we'll be able to really market the wedding business.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we've had the ability to offer gaming on piers now for, what, four or five years now, and it hasn't been taken up anywhere. Is that something that you guys might consider out there?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah. We're in discussions.
Yeah. How about some suites out there that would be?
You know, I think from a fire standpoint, it would be difficult, but if there was one, I think I'd live there.
Yeah, exactly. It's beautiful out there. Let's talk about some Atlantic City issues. You know, we've got the tourism district set up now. The governor has thrown his full support behind Atlantic City for the first time since I can remember. You know, we've got a guy in place at CRDA, a new head of the Atlantic City Alliance. Are you seeing some momentum getting started here?
Well, here's the good news. That both John Palmieri, the CRDA chief, and Liza Cartmell, the ACA chief, don't come from Atlantic City,
right?
Which I think is a good thing.
Absolutely.
In this stage, so no predetermined
right.
cronies or, mm-hmm. or ideas or whatever. And they're two very independent, professional people that have great resumes and intestinal fortitude to do things that might be unpopular. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of work to do, and it's long over. You know, we should have had this done years and years ago.
Right.
But you know, there are. Good plans out there,
mm-hmm.
and I think money. So
right.
I think you'll start seeing things happen relatively quickly. And
mm-hmm.
and I think if you look at John Palmieri's resume and the product that he's left behind in Providence, Boston, and Charlotte,
mm-hmm.
he's done some things. And I bet he has more money here than he had there. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then on the Alliance standpoint, Atlantic City is going to have about a $30 million pot to market the destination.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of Caesars ads and Borgata's ads, there'll be an Atlantic City ad. And I think once some of the progress gets happening or gets completed with the you know, the revitalization of the town,
mm-hmm.
and you know, as it goes to safety and clean and
right.
everything else, I think we'll have a heck of a lot more polished product to sell.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we were talking the last time about how the events that you brought into the hall, this was Caesars at the time, you know, benefited everybody, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you had gone around to the other casinos, you know, asking them to get involved. Well, now, will that kind of thing be funneled through the Atlantic City Alliance?
I think so. I think we'll have a lot more events. I think we're, you know, the big problem here was the union contracts at Boardwalk Hall and the convention center, and hopefully we'll get some relief there and make this what it should be. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's an amazing convention destination.
Right.
You know, the food and beverage, not just in the casinos, but in the city, as you know,
mm-hmm.
are, you know, spectacular
right.
and unique.
Yeah.
You know, in Las Vegas, I love the restaurants there, but
mm-hmm.
they're all, you know, cookie cutter type deals.
Mm-hmm.
And here there's, you know, 100 years of history in the buildings
right.
that you're having.
Yeah, exactly right.
You know, food in, and I think when the town is busy with conventions,
mm-hmm.
the place is a whole new atmosphere.
Right. Now, there's the hall itself is one of the best venues in the whole nation in terms of bringing people into it, and then
yeah.
there's an excitement that you can feel up and down the boardwalk when there's somebody, an entertainer in the hall there.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. We've done a lot of fights, I think 15 fights this
mm-hmm.
year, God knows how many concerts. Hockey, ice skating, you know, and I think we're very close to announcing a Flyers Devils exhibition game.
Really, that'd be great.
Next September, which
mm-hmm.
I think would be a great thing. Big league,
yeah.
Sports
mm-hmm.
here is something that it'll be unbelievable.
Yeah, they do that at MGM every year, right? Well, I think that's the Lakers that come in for
yep.
exhibition game prior to the season. I guess not this year though, but. Now, you mentioned conventions. My daughter-in-law runs one of the stores in the Walk, and she was saying that traffic is down a little bit this year because conventions have been down. Is that something that the CRDA is going to address?
I don't think that's accurate. I think that the Walk is doing extraordinarily well, and the good news is the parking garage is going to open
right.
up here in minutes,
mm-hmm.
I think. And so there's going to be a parking safe, accessible parking structure.
Mm-hmm.
Adjacent to the Walk, and I think it'll be great. And convention business actually has been up this year. I think we're in the season right now where the next month or so we'll really be going with the
mm-hmm.
League of Municipalities, teachers, and then school boards will
right.
be here.
Okay. Now the CRDA is going to be in charge of the convention, so that you think they're going to have an ability to sell them any better, sell the destination better than the ACCBA?
I do. I think that, you know, not to take any shots at anybody, but I think it's a commitment we have to make. And, you know, it's not all the ACCVA's fault that there is not convention business. This industry forever said, you know, we won't give you rooms, which was, you know, very, very short-sighted, you know, in the growth of a city. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the people that made those decisions, I think really hurt the city, because I think we'd really be into the momentum here. But now we're saying, yeah, we want conventions. We know how to make money from from a conventioneer, just like we do a slot player.
Sure,
so.
Well, it used to be, you know, if they weren't a gaming customer, you know, we're not going to give you rooms. But now you have all the non-gaming amenities, so you can still make money off somebody who might not even walk in.
Yeah, I mean, when you look back at it, you say, you know, you knew a monopoly wasn't going to last forever.
Right.
It never does.
Yeah.
So, you know, to diversify the town, people making decisions like that didn't make good ones.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Now, we've had an issue with safety, at least the perception of safety here in Atlantic City recently with the carjacking thing in the Taj. Is that something that that's the first thing we have to address to make Atlantic City safe?
Well, it was, you know, the crime unfortunately happens all over this country.
Right.
But I can tell you, we've done a very good job since then.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wake-up call for all of us.
Yeah.
So we have, you know, way more security presence.
Mm-hmm.
We had a very good security presence. We've upped it.
Right.
And our surveillance equipment and monitors are second to none in the world as far as garages go. The police are you know, doing tours through the garages. And, you know, it made us relook at how we take care of our garages and, you know, just from a clean standpoint at the end of it. I mean, sometimes you just don't even think about it, but if you walk in a place that's bright and shiny and well lit, it feels a heck of a lot safer, and we need to do a better job.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're going to actually put surveillance monitors, meaning not cameras, monitors, that you can see what our people are seeing.
Right.
And I think it's really good to note that the perpetrators of those crimes were caught within 3 or 4 days because their unsmiling faces were seen 1,000 times by 1,000 different cameras. And if you're going to do something bad, it's probably a poor location to pick.
Right, and that's a good message to get out, that there are so many surveillance cameras. And, you know, I was talking to one of the cops in town, and he said it was like a mugshot, you know, that they had to get these people. So
it was spectacular views.
Yeah, absolutely. But the perception of safety, I think, is really what's important. How are you going to get that message out to the customers and the potential customers who want to come here?
Well, you know, you have to walk the talk, and I think that, you know, we're in the process of, you know, having unbelievable meetings with not only the police administration, but Lieutenant Gilbert from the state police and the DGE and the industry sitting down and talking about it, and, you know, ambassadors are on the boardwalk, and maybe there'd be level 2 police that would be out there on Pacific Avenue and the street. The lighting project on the boardwalk is finally underway, and... You know, instead of having like a light bulb you have in your bedroom, we're going to have like a, you know, a real, real big time
spotlight.
So that the boardwalk will come to life. And so I'm encouraged. There's a lot of good things happening here in this town.
Yeah. Now, walk me through the process of the Atlantic City Alliance. Obviously, you sit on the board. Does every casino have a representative on the board?
I'm the chairman of it, and work very closely with, you know, the other guys in town. And now Liza and... there's, like I said, we formed it this year and got everything in motion. And now we're at the point where we're going to start saying, okay, here's where the money comes from, the industry, instead of going to the horse racing.
Right.
And we're hiring a world-class agency to go out there and say, okay, here's what Atlantic City really is and what it's going to be.
Okay. So it's going to be, you know, at the level of what happens here stays here type of Vegas thing.
Yeah, we need, you know, always turned on. I'm not quite sure that gets me there, but I think we'll come up with some kind of slogan that'll resonate what the town is about.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that will be decided at the board level then.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we, like I said, when you hire a talented people, you should empower them and encourage them, and I think that's what we'll do and get something great.
Well, Liza had a great resume in terms of what she's done in the past, so I think she certainly has the ability to get
that. Oh, she does. She's very good, very satisfied with that hire.
Great. Well, you got a big opening in the spring here when Revel opens its doors. What impact is that going to have on the city?
Well, hopefully it grows the market. It looks, I've not been in it, but it looks to be a spectacular building, and they've done a nice job on the boardwalk at that end, and you start to see it getting cleaned up in that end a little bit, not as fast as I would like, but hopefully they grow the pie, and if they do that, then you should be in, we should all be in a position to make something. Certainly our showboat property, which, my standard comment is we're at the end of the boardwalk. We're going to be at the center of the boardwalk at Showboat now.
Right, yeah.
I think that bodes well for that property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that should enliven that entire end of town. Obviously, there's going to be some short-term, dilution of the market. Do you think that's going to be more at the lower end of the casino spectrum, which, some people are afraid of, or is it going to be at the higher end because that's a higher-end property?
If it grows the pie, and they're under-roomed initially, I think if people want to see it and they only have 1,000 or such rooms, people are going to stay at other properties, and we hope to be there with them. And like I said, we're trying to market the city, and I think being in Vegas for 20 some years, every time a new property that was spectacular opened, the whole town felt a positive push.
And certainly everybody's over to see it, but, either they come back or they don't, but that's the responsibility of your company, I guess, to make sure that they come back.
Yeah, and it's, service. People need, great quality amenities, and they need great service. And I think that's really one of the mantras that we have here. We bonus our employees with the service.
Sure, course. Right, yeah. Well, Don, thanks for the time. I really appreciate it. You're doing a great job here, both for your company and for the city. And we're looking forward to the results of the Atlantic City Alliance and the CRDA, and really the upturn to the city here.
I think Atlantic City's been thought to be dead a few times in its life, and I think that there's a lot of good things happening here, and people are working together for the first time.
Right.
And we have new talented people in the mix. So.
Yeah, and that's very exciting for the city. Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. If you want to learn more about the issues discussed today or anything about the gaming industry, visit our website at ggbmagazine.com. For weekly updates on the industry, subscribe to GGB News, the only weekly e-news magazine dedicated to the breaking news of the gaming business. To see a sample issue, visit ggbnews.com. That's it for today. Hope you enjoyed the interview, and we'll see you next week on the Global Gaming Business Podcast.